The old saying goes, ashes to ashes and dust to dust, but the modern business of dealing with death is anything but natural. And as we become more aware of our own impact on the environment, the threat of climate change bears down on us. Many people are reassessing their former plans for disposal of their remains after death. Traditional burials are expensive, demand maintenance in perpetuity, and use up plots of land forever. Tens of millions of planks of wood are used in coffins, and more than 4 million gallons of toxic embalming fluid goes into the process every year. Cremation is considerably cheaper, but may be even more harmful to the environment. It's estimated that one cremation uses the same amount of fuel as a car driving 4,800 miles, and it generates considerable carbon emissions and releases mercury and other toxins into the air. But now greener alternatives are available, relieving a big financial burden on relatives and allowing the departed to make their final exit a final gift to the earth. We'll show you some of those options. Fox 11 News in Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner. Welcome to Fox 11 News in Depth. Benjamin Franklin once famously said, now I'm sure you've probably heard this before, in this world, nothing is certain except death and taxes. Today, we're going to tackle that tough subject of death, or more specifically, what happens after death. There is a bill sitting on the governor's desk right now. In fact, it may be signed by the time you see this program. It would permit human composting, also known as natural organic reduction, in the state of California for the very first time. That process is already legal in 4 states. Washington is one of those, where a company called Return Home has been putting it into practice. And joining us right now to talk about this is Micah Truman. He is the CEO of Return Home. And you know what, Micah? This is all fascinating material we're going to talk about for the next half hour, but some of what you have to say really has me thinking, because there's some things that you do that I haven't really heard much about before. So first of all, sure, Let's talk about the notion of human composting. And this may be uncomfortable for people to talk about, but it is important. And the truth is, we're talking about here in this half hour, much more natural processes of embalming and cremation, right?
That's correct. We choose to call it terramation, which is the transformation, the gentle transformation of human remains into soil. As you'd mentioned earlier, we really do have a fairly, serious environmental problem. Cremation takes 30 gallons of fuel and blows 530 pounds of CO2 into the atmosphere. And we're given back a material that's as useful to the earth as a bucket full of sand. And Return Home gives us a viable alternative to that. And we're really excited about it. And we've been open for over a year now.
You know, we're creatures of habit, aren't we? And we do what our parents did, and they did what their parents did, and so on and so forth. And we're talking about things that are different now that they didn't have when our parents passed away and when our grandparents passed away.
This is actually true. But, you know, our memory is somewhat short. Traditional burial methods have only been around for about 150 years. And before that, we did simply put bodies straight into the earth.
Why would somebody choose this, though? Why would somebody want to do it this way?
There are a number of important reasons. The first one is that it's the nicest thing we can do for the last act we make on this planet. I think it's really important that we go back to the earth without polluting it. So that's a big one. The second one is there are people who are not overly excited about being either buried or cremated. And that also composes a really large part. And then finally, there are groups who really would like to go back to their own land. You know how people often say, I'd like to be a tree? Well, that's often quite hard to do in modern society, but we actually can help our families do that. So those are the types of families that do come to us.
Yeah, well, why is it that embalming and cremation are so bad for the environment? I mean, we talk a lot these days about things being green.
Sure. So as I'd mentioned just before, right, cremation, 30 gallons of fuel, 530 pounds of CO2 straight into the air. Everything that our body could give the earth goes up as greenhouse gas. We do not need to take a survey as to how many of us will die. All of us will. And we have to have a sustainable alternative. And that is just beginning. So that's cremation. Burial. We take a body. We often embalm it, which means filling it with formaldehyde, which is poisonous. We place it in a gasketed coffin. We take that coffin, we place it in a cement and rebar lined hole in the ground, right? Where it then just sits for an extended period of time. These are our disposition methods, and they are unsustainable. difficult to talk about, but we need to start considering this.
There is something, though, that your company does that really is fascinating to me. You have a little forest, don't you?
We do.
And what do you do in that forest?
Sure. So our process gives back soil to our families. They can take as much of the soil as they would like. Any amount that they cannot take goes to our 8-acre woodland, which is only 10 miles from our facility where we scatter it. So in essence, our families can have both the soil for themselves and make sure that they are rejuvenating the land in our woodland right nearby our office. It's been really beautiful.
You know, sometimes I think poetically, and it almost feels like what you have there are family trees.
Funny you say that. I think that this is really in our bones. I think we have a desire, a deep desire, to return to the earth. And it's been amazing the responses that our families have had to this process. It's been incredible.
But you talk to a lot of people, and did you hear some objections from people that potentially become your customers?
It's funny. One of the most amazing things that we have is that sometimes we have younger people who die and come to us. And many of those younger people arrange their own disposition with us before they go. And sometimes their parents look at that and maybe they have concerns. And it's usually those parents at the end of the process that are our most passionate supporters. So I think it really does come down to getting used to who we are and what we do in our process. And from that point, I think the families jump on very quickly.
California's had a tough time getting this thing approved. Can you sort of speak to why that's been the case and what you're thinking is going to happen, which could happen before, again, as I said earlier, before this program even airs?
Let's be very clear. If we were dealing with food or with cars, we'd have dealt with this, we'd have solved this years ago. In fact, I think California is now the leader, right, in making sure that our cars are electric. But we are talking about dying, and that's not something people always want to discuss. And as a result, our legislature, because our people, our legislature, or our legislators are people too, it gets slow and it doesn't happen quickly. So by dint of the fact that we are dealing with dying has slowed down the discussion and the legislation. But that's obviously all kicking into gear now.
Well, what's the cost involved here? I mean, let's say that a family wants to have a family tree, and mom and dad and grandma and grandpa and whatever, you know, around the tree.
Sure. Our cost is $4,950. The national average for cremation is a little over $6,000. In my town of Seattle, I don't think anyone could be buried for less than $15,000. So we feel that we are price competitive, and obviously our process is a great deal kinder to the earth.
All right, we only have a half a minute. What's the bottom line here, Truman?
I think the most important thing we need to remember here is that we need to make sure our last act on this planet is one that gives back to it. It's the last thing we do. Let's make it count.
Micah Truman, thank you so much. It's a tough subject, but interesting information. Thanks so much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Coming up next on Fox 11 News in Depth, we talk about another alternative method of handling your earthly remains. This one is already in use in California, and while similar to cremation, it's much greener and wetter, and we'll be right back to tell you all about it. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News in Depth. I'm Hal Eisner, and as we mentioned in the last segment, a standard cremation burns about 30 gallons of fossil fuel and releases 500 pounds of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. And that's just one, with cremations now surpassing burials in the United States. You can see how that adds up. But there's an alternative that is much cleaner in many ways. It's called aquamation. The late human rights advocate and Nobel Peace Prize winner Desmond Tutu, who died last year, helped bring attention to this process. Tutu's last wish, that his remains be aquamated. But what is aquamation? Let's ask the CEO of a local aquamation company, Pisces Aquamation, Christopher Taktak. And good to see you, Christopher. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, Hal. Thank you for having me.
All right. So what the heck is aquamation?
I get that question pretty much every day. Aquamation is an eco-friendly method of cremation. It involves dissolving a body rather than burning it. And the process takes around 4 hours, produces ashes, it releases no emissions, and it's widely considered the most eco-friendly method of disposition out there.
All right, why would somebody choose this particular method over cremation?
Well, you know, Hal, first and foremost, you know, when you're putting it up, against burial and cremation, those are two legacy processes that are not good for the environment. As we've already discussed earlier, burial takes up land, leaches toxins into the environment. You're putting concrete in there, embalming fluids. Cremation as well uses all this gas and it produces all these gases into the atmosphere. What we're doing here is releasing absolutely no harmful emissions. You're not taking up any land. There's no maintenance. You're just using a little bit of water to help speed up the decomposition process that would naturally happen underground.
You know, I always say, and there's truth to this, I learn something new every day. I'm going to tell you, there's not a day that goes by that I don't learn something new. Aquamation is something new to me. It's not something I've heard about before. How long has it been around?
So aquamation has been around since the 1800s, believe it or not. It's widely been used for animals. And if you're looking at it in the U.S. today, it's been legal in a couple situations for decades now. The Mayo Clinic has been using it for a long time. UCLA has been using it for a long time. We're now just seeing that increase in legislation for consumers, people like you and me who will soon be able to get these processes, you know, in every state in the country. And if you look at it right now, a lot of people are doing this for their pets. And if you know consumer industries, you know, humans typically follows pets when you look at how quickly and easily people pick things up. So, you know, we're happy that a lot of people are getting their dogs and cats acclimated. We're excited to bring this for humans in California.
So we're looking at this large metal vault. Walk us through this process. I mean, what exactly happens and how does that vault we just looked at play a role in all of this?
Sure, absolutely. So the acclimation process is pretty simple. It involves placing a body into it's called a metal basket, and we load it into the stainless steel cylinder that you see right there. That cylinder, once we close the door, fills with a solution of 95% water, 5% salts. And these are natural alkali salts. These are the same salts you find in soap, in shampoo. And what they do is they catalyze the natural process of water decomposition that would typically happen under the ground. That catalyzing happens along with some pressure and some heat. And the water is basically just very gently pushed around the body. And over the course of 4 hours, the soft tissue of the body begins to dissolve. And after the 4 hours are done, it's fully dissolved. We're tapping off that liquid, and what's left behind is bone, the same bone that you'd get at the end of a cremation, but it's actually white, and it's not burnt by the fire. It's lovely, beautiful, unburned. And it's brittle, so we crush it up a little. And that becomes a take-home result for families, these lovely white ashes, of which there are 33% more as well. And you get these ashes and the knowledge that you haven't polluted the environment at the same time.
You know, again, these things are tough to talk about. And I'm not pretending that it's comfortable for me to ask questions about these things. However, you know, when we in the past have talked about people passing away and they loved the ocean or they loved a particular lake, and they were cremated and their ashes were spread out to sea. That's sort of where we might think about water being used as a final sort of resting place. This is a different sort of deal, isn't it?
Well, Hal, you know, the connotations are the same. We are birthed in liquid, in water. And this is how, you know, people say goodbye now. You know, for us, it's like, why would you put grandma in a furnace when you could do this? It's like a warm bath. That's what we say. And, you know, when it comes to terramation or human composting, you know, I wasn't born from a tree. And not to, you know, say that that's a bad process. I love it and I respect it. But for a lot of people, this resonates a lot more with how us humans enter the earth and the gentle connotations of water, of flow, of movement. For a lot of people, that's how they say, you know, they want to say goodbye. And we do a lot of scatterings over the water for people who want to do that too. You get these lovely ashes with which you can do a life-centered ceremony. You're still getting that take-home product. And for family members, it's a really natural way to say goodbye.
I guess we only have a minute left in that short period of time. How common is this in the United States? And I guess a final thought, what do you want to leave people with is sort of a thought about this acclimation process?
I won't say that it's common right now, but it's going to be. And it's going to be because we're going to enlighten people to the process. And the fact is, when people hear about it, they choose it. You know, one last thing I'd like to leave people with is that if they're recycling, if they're driving electric, if they have solar panels, if they cycle, if they compost, this is a no-brainer. This is the most eco-friendly process. It's the one that aligns with your life values. it's the one you want to choose.
And of course, we think about global warming and all of these sort of things in today's society. Christopher Tac-Tac. I was afraid I was going to say that. People do that, don't they? Christopher Tac-Tac.
People do it all the time.
I'm sure they do. Thanks so much for joining us. And coming up next on Fox 11 News in Depth, if you're not interested in burial or having ashes scattered or put into an urn, what can you do to make sure your loved one has a really incredible send-off? How about sending them into space? We explain that after this. Welcome back to Fox 11 News in Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. Tough subject to talk about today, but for some of us, the idea of resting quietly beneath the earth doesn't necessarily sound quite fitting. For those people, there's another option for their earthly remains, and it's not on Earth. A company called Celestis is sending human ashes into space along with DNA and other mementos. CEO Charles Schaefer is here to talk to us about that. And you know what? This is an interesting one for me because I've seen this before. I've heard of this before. We know this has been done before, and it is continuing to be done. And so, first of all, how did you get, you know, in on this sort of project involving space launches and sending remains up to the final frontier?
Good question. Well, I was a space geek growing up in the 60s and 70s and returned, I think, to my geekdom in college, and was looking for something that could involve everyone on the planet in the space exploration effort. And as has been noted, we all pass away, and many of us choose to have a memorial service that talks about what we believed in during our life. And so for people that want to go to space, who've always dreamed of being part of a real space mission, or who just want to be part of the biggest celebration on or off the planet, we're a great choice.
Well, let's look at the Accession flight from last May, and what can you tell us about that one?
So that was our 18th mission since we began. We've put more people in space than all the governments of the world combined. We launched 49 souls into Earth orbit on a SpaceX rocket from Cape Canaveral, Florida in May. They're currently orbiting the Earth. You can go to our website and track it real time. So if you want to go out and look at a night sky when mom's going over, just check our website and you can do that. The spacecraft will stay in orbit for a number of years, probably 10 to 15. And then the natural evolution of the law of physics will bring that spacecraft down into the Earth's atmosphere where it burns up in entirety upon return, kind of like a shooting star.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be very emotional for family watching the ship go up. I think I first heard about this with Gene Roddenberry.
Yes, that he was on our very first mission in 1997.
And of course, the thing that's drawing a lot of attention now is the mission later this year that'll bear the ashes of Nichelle Nichols, who played Uhura on Star Trek, and some others as well. You know, this is where this gets attention, right? This is where people go, oh, that's what's going on.
Well, we're honored to have been selected by Nichelle's son and to provide that service, and it's going to be an amazing flight. That flight that she's on, along with others, around 200 from around the world, is actually going to go more than 300 kilometers into deep space and create a permanent station in heliocentric orbit, the farthest we've ever gone. And appropriately, we call that flight the Enterprise flight.
Yeah. What a lovely lady, too. I've interviewed her in the past. But you know, as we think about Nichelle, as we think about Gene Roddenberry, you don't have to be from Star Trek, you know, to be doing this. You could just be anybody. And so what's involved? What's the cost? How does this work?
Sure. I mean, we have truck drivers and unfortunately, children that have been lost. We have people from over 35 countries flying on our missions. We have four destinations, and the costs, and some of the Earth orbit, the moon, deep space, a return flight, those range from $2,500 to $12,500 for the lunar and Voyager, because it's harder to get there. And really, it can be a symbolic portion, a few grams of cremated remains. We can also fly your DNA that's taken from a cheek swab sample before you're buried or composted or aquified or whatever. And that DNA sample is processed, sent to us, and we launch your entire human genome into space as well.
Okay, we only have a minute left. I have a couple of questions real quick. One, it goes into a canister, right? It's not like you spread ashes out into space. And number two, you can ask to be buried, for lack of a better term, on the moon?
Yes. Yes, we fly in individual flight capsules. In 1999, NASA asked us to help them make Dr. Eugene Shoemaker the first person buried on the moon. He was scattered on the South Pole. We have a lunar mission coming up later this year where we'll land about 80 folks on a spacecraft. It won't ever be distributed or anything like that, but there'll be a permanent forever spacecraft with those 90 folks on board on the surface of the moon. So you can just go out on a starry, on a moonlit night and look up and there's
that. Yeah, what a phenomenal thought to think, looking up at space, looking at the moon and saying, there's Grandpa. Right?
Exactly.
All right.
People love to do.
Well, I've got to tell you, Charles Chafer, that is very interesting stuff. Thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate your time. And we'll be back with more Fox 11 News in Depth right after this. And finally, if you haven't already, check out my podcast. It's called What the Hell, and it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts, or just go to whatthehellpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News in Depth. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week, everybody. And before we go, are cemeteries not your style? There's another alternative cropping up from coast to coast. Take a look. Bye-bye.
Instead of a funeral with a burial of a casket in a cemetery, families are choosing to have a celebration of life, and then they're spreading the ashes of the loved ones beneath a family tree in a permanently protected forest.